God has given Marnie a word for us, and besides that, it's Mother's Day, and we're just excited to hear what God is telling us. So everybody smile so she don't get scared, will you? Welcome Marnie as she comes. God bless you.
These are always really great ideas, like when they're fresh from God and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then you get to just that moment and you're like, what was I thinking? So I'm thinking at the moment, what was I thinking? But this was really crazy. Honestly, this was given to me really through a dream. Kirk always laughs at me. I dream really realistic dreams, like waking up in the morning, going and brushing my teeth, and like a lot of times, like my night dreams, that's what they consist of. So I could not sleep one night. I could not sleep, and literally felt like God downloaded this message. And it was something that I was going through, so I know that it could be for me, but I really think it's for everybody. I think it's something that whether you're a mom or whether you're a dad, or whether you're single, I think there's something that we can glean from here. So in this room, who would consider yourself a dreamer? Raise your hand. Yeah. Now, you aren't supposed to get to the punchline already. I was working up to that, Stan. Nobody heard you. Who would consider yourself like super realistic or like just, you know, kind of just this is how it is, this is... That's me. Yeah, that is totally and completely me. And sometimes you'll look at the dreamers and go, oh, those dreamers, they're never going to get anything done. Okay, maybe you haven't lived with a dreamer, but I have. And so they're constantly like throwing out these dreams and you're like, I just don't even know how to keep up. And you're kind of going, well, okay, that's great and dandy and all, but this has to happen and that has to happen and that has to happen. And you're kind of the one kind of checking off like, this is how we're going to make it work. And so my challenge to me during this dream was that we're all dreamers. And so I started to think about it, and I started to just imagine. I'm like, you know, when I walk into a store, now I know no other moms do this or nobody else does this, but I see this super cute top hanging on the hanger, right? And so you go to it and you look at it. Guess what you do? You dream. You dream how that top is going to look on you. You hope that if you get this top, that when you put it on, it's just going to look so amazing. Or when you go and get that haircut, okay, I'm talking to women right now. I don't think men do this, but you get that haircut, you see that new hairstyle, and you're like, yep, yep. And you go to the hairstyle thing, and they cut you all up, and you walk out, and you're like, yeah, my husband, he's just going to faint when I come home because he sees my hair, right? That's you. That's her. He goes, she's going to faint. But we have dreams or expectations, hopes of what that is going to accomplish, right? We're dreaming, okay? What about the atmosphere of our home? We have dreams, we have hopes, we have expectations, what we want the atmosphere of our home to be like. Now, I was very privileged, and I feel it a great honor, to have been raised in a home that was very loving, that was very Christ-honoring, and that was really part of my legacy. And so I have grown up and had children, and I have a dream that my children would know that same love and care and Christ-honoring that I grew up with. And some of us in this room haven't had that opportunity. And so we have a dream that we can have that opportunity, right? We dream about what our relationship with our husband is like. Oh my goodness. So... married, huge expectation of what married life was going to be like, okay? Huge, like, oh, we're going to wake up, and he's going to make coffee, and just, oh, it's going to be so great. He actually does make coffee, so that's good. But I just had these ideas that, oh, he's going to shower me with gifts and flowers, and it's just going to be so awesome and we're never going to fight and we're just, it's going to be just amazing. What do you think? Do you think that happened? No. But I had a hope. I had an expectation of what that was like. Now, it's not bad. It's just part of my expectations needed to come a little bit to reality. We have hopes for our children, right? Who doesn't? We have hopes that our children will be healthy, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We have ideas. Some of this, if you turn it bad, you have ideas for their future. And so you're like, I'm going to live my every hope and dream through that child. That's not really a good thing to do. But what our hope and dream should be is that they will prosper, that they will do well, that they will exercise the gifts that God has given them. We can have hopes and dreams for healthy marriages for them, great jobs, right? We have hopes and dreams. We have hopes and dreams for our community. We have hopes and dreams for our schools. We have hopes and dreams for the church. Some of you are excited. Some of you maybe aren't. But we have hopes and expectations of what we think it should look like. Now, hope. I actually dug into the Bible. There's lots of Bible verses. They're coming. And the word is tikva. And it means expectation, that thing that I long for. That thing I long for. And so I went into Webster's Dictionary and looked at what they had to say. And they said, a feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. It's usually, you can usually define what your hope is. It's not like it just blows up and you don't really know what your hope is. There's usually a defining thing that your hope is. A dream is a strongly desired goal or purpose, something that fully satisfies a wish. Something that's fully satisfied. And so we all are living with these expectations. And we all have that thing that we long for, unless you're dead. Are you dead? Thank you. I just wanted to make sure. We all have that thing. Would you agree with me that we all have hopes? That we all have dreams? Okay? So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about Eve, because what good is a Mother's Day message without Eve? Right? Got to go back to the first mom. And I was thinking about her as she walked in the garden. And I was just thinking about the perfection of that moment. The perfection that surrounded her. And just the intimacy with God. Think about her relationship with Adam. There was no sin. There was no selfishness. There probably wasn't any strife then. It was perfection, the communion that she walked in, right? And then I thought about what happened and how her one choice, her one choice really destroyed that perfection, and chaos ensued. And I kind of thought, I wonder if that's where dreams and hopes actually originated. Like, I know that God has plans for us. I'm not talking about that. But in the earthly realm, can you hope and dream when you're living in perfection? Like if you're living in perfection, would you know that there's anything else out there? Does that make sense? Like, I'm trying to make it make sense. And so she loses that fellowship and that connection. And all of a sudden, she starts to have dreams and hopes because she's really longing. She's got that ache inside her heart for something that she once knew. She's aching for that perfection, that communion that she once had known. And I believe dreams and hopes were born. That out of the mess, God created something beautiful, and he gave us the ability to hope and to dream. And so my first point is really that dreams cause us to aim higher, go further, and see and experience more than we can honestly imagine. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, where there is no dream. In Hebrew, the word vision means a dream. Where there is no dream, where there is no revelation, the people perish. And so how important is it for us to dream, guys? It's very important. So many of you know Kirk and I's story, but we got married and we had a dream. And our dream was to live in the country and to raise our kids in the country. And so it was so impossible. Like, seriously, it was so impossible to think about, like, even thinking of it. But I'm married to a dreamer. Can I tell you that without him, there is no way that we would have built a house? Or I wouldn't have even dreamed of it. It wouldn't have even entered my brain. But because I'm married to a dreamer, he's like, hey, let's go look at land. And we can just dream about maybe where we would put a house. And so we'd go on dates and we would drive around and we'd like, oh, that spot's nice. And oh, hey, I have a dream. All of a sudden, dreams are getting catchy, right? Dreams are catchy. If you like are next to a dreamer, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I think I just dreamed something. I just dreamed something. All of a sudden, I'm expecting something more. I'm thinking that maybe that's possible. So we go around on date nights and we drive around. All of a sudden, I started dreaming like, ooh, maybe I could get a creek that would flow through our land. That would be amazing. Oh, and it'd be really cool if we could have a view of the hills because we just love the view of the hills. That would be great. I started dreaming. Okay, so guess what we started to do? We started to take steps in that direction. We started to work really hard to pay off our own house so that we could have some equity to buy some land. Well, what are we going to do? If we're going to actually maybe go buy some land, maybe we should dream up a house. We could dream up a house. That would be exciting. So we spent hours and hours dreaming up a house. Now, that house is becoming reality. If we never would have dreamed it, would it have become a reality? Yes or no? It wouldn't have. So how important are dreams? There is a quote, actually I was in the dollar store because dollar stores are awesome. And it said, we create tomorrow what we dream today. And I was just like, that is so good. Because guys, we walk through our house now, and if you don't know, like, we might be a little tired of working on it at the moment. But in order to keep that dream alive, do you know what we've started to do? We've started to celebrate how far we've come. We'll go up there when we're tired, and we'll look at that rafter and remember everything that rafter entailed. And go, wow, look at how far we've come. Well, if we've come this far, I know God will help us to go the rest of the way. We start celebrating the victories. And you know what? I challenge you that your neighbor, your coworker, your husband, they need to see you dream for something bigger than that is of yourself that you can do. Because they are in a hopeless situation and they don't really see a way out of that situation. And so they're kind of stuck. And so when they start being by someone who starts dreaming for something that's beyond themselves, something where you're really kind of giving it to God and like asking him to do something, it's catchy. And you know what it breathes into their life? Hope. You become a hope carrier. You start to breathe life into their situation by just dreaming, by just having a dream. I love the verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us. Now, if you're dreaming for a lifetime supply of pizza, like, am I saying that, man, if you dream, God is going to give you that lifetime of pizza? Please understand, I am not saying that. I am saying, however, if God puts into you, man, I would love a lifetime of pizza so that I could go feed the homeless, so that I could have something to give them. I really believe that as we surrender our dreams to the Maker, to the one that has made us, that he starts breathing on those dreams. The verse, Psalm 37:4, one of my favorites. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will direct your path. In both of these, there's something that comes first, right? Trust. Delight. When I think of the word delight, I think of myself being found in him, of twirling around and just I'm delighting in who he is, but I'm like he's over me and around me. Does that make sense? I'm in him. And so then he gives me God dreams and he gives me God desires. Delight actually means to be soft or pliable, molding your dreams. And trust means to made to hope. He will mold you. He will direct you. He will give you dreams. Okay, now I know it. I can hear it now because I'm this person. That's great. You know how many times I've dreamed and nothing's ever happened? Did anyone just ask that in your head? No? Oh, you guys are amazing. You are so not like me at all. Oh, I am. I've taken a risk to dream, and then maybe it didn't happen. And I was left with disappointment. That's a reality that we may have to live with dreaming. Does that make sense? So do you think that maybe it would be really wise for us to learn what to do with disappointment? I think it would be. Because how you handle that can either make you really bitter and make your world really small because you won't dare to dream anymore. You said, I've been there, I've done that, and this happened, and so I'm not going to dream. I'm not going to do it. It hurts too much. Been there. Or else you decide, okay, God, I didn't see the answer to this. I didn't see this dream come to fruition. But I'm sure going to lean into you and figure out why. I'm going to ask you. Or I'm going to ask for help. So I want to actually deal with the disappointment. I want you to think of Eve again. And I'm going to really try and hurry. First family unit. She knew perfection. Now come to this. Her firstborn kills her son. Her firstborn son kills her other son. Do you think that her dreams of having a happy family were shattered? Could you imagine as a mom? How do you face that disappointment? What does she do with that? She was facing disappointment. And I can't go into like the whole long story, but in Genesis 4:25 it says, well, actually before that it says something like, Adam lay with her. And then it says, she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. And Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. And at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Did Eve go through pain? Did she go through some disappointment? It was shattered. I can't even fathom. But God restored. And some of us have some broken dreams. We've dreamed for things, and actually when we look at it, we feel like it's gone the opposite direction. You're like, yeah, that was a bad idea. I should not have dreamed that, because now I'm further away than when I started. Right? But I firmly believe Romans 8:28, and I believe this happened for Eve. It says, and we know that all things work together for good in them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It was not good that Abel died. It was not good that Cain killed Abel. But God reached down into that and even restored and gave her a son. And the people began to call on the name of the Lord. There's another lady I want to tell you about. Her name is Hagar, and it's her fault that this actually message came together. Now, Hagar was the slave of Sarah. Okay? She was a maidservant, slave. And Hagar, like, just think of her. Like, she had dreams and hopes as well. I am sure, because especially, like, in that time, it was very honored to have a family, to be married and to have children. And that was really something of esteem. And so obviously you have Abraham and Sarah who, well, it was like 86 years, I think, before the first visitation where they, you know, said, hey, you're going to have a child. Okay. And so Sarah's been waiting for a very long time. And I'm pretty sure her dream was about dead. Right? I would think it would be. So then you have Hagar, and she's coming into this situation, and she's a servant, and she has her own hopes and dreams. And so Sarah comes to her and says, okay, well, actually comes to Abraham and says, I can't give you a child, and I know that this was said, but I'm sure what God really meant was you should have Hagar instead of me. I'm pretty sure. And so she gave Hagar as a wife to Abraham. All right? So think about this. You are the lonely maidservant, and you are now wife to the leader of a nation. Wow, for dreams. That's pretty crazy. Went from here. Whoa, I'm my wife. Not only that, now you are with child. You are bearing a child. Another dream come true. But now, when you go and try and serve in the same way you were, now Sarah looks on you with contempt. And now, because of the bitterness and the hurt in her own heart, she's treating you badly. Your thoughts and your ideas of what this was going to look like are being shattered. And so she runs, it says this, I think it's Genesis 16, maybe? 7, I forgot to put that in. It says, the angel of the Lord found... So Hagar runs away. She runs into the desert. So the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from? And where are you going? And she says, I'm running away. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. And the angel of the Lord also said to it, you are now pregnant. You will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael. God hears, for the Lord has heard of your misery. And then I just skipped a little bit and said, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. In the midst of her disappointment, she named that desert, she named that place with the name of, you are the God that sees me. So the story continues. She goes back. She, you know, baby's growing up. Okay, he's like 13 now or 12. And in the midst of the time, they visited again, and the angels did, and Sarah has a baby. And this baby is now born. They now have the blessing of their son, the inheritance. Now, just side note, they did have to wait, 99 years. Just a little side note. I don't understand God, but sometimes his timing is way different than mine, okay? But the promise came. So they're having a party. Ishmael, the party is for Isaac, okay? They're celebrating this certain thing that happens. And Ishmael, now can you imagine? This is the son now, okay? The blessing has come. There's excitement. There's rejoicing. Everyone's really super excited. And Ishmael, probably feeling jealous, probably feeling a little left out, kind of starts making fun of him, Isaac. And guess who sees? Mama Sarah. You don't treat my son that way, right? Can't you just see it? I can see it. I can see Mama Bear like getting up and just be like, no. And so she says, that maidservant, not that wife, not that grandson or son, sorry. That maidservant has to leave. And so Abraham is torn, I'm sure, was grieved, but he listens and gives her a little bit of food and some water, what she could carry, and he sends them off into the desert. What has happened to her dream? What has happened? So it says they're in the desert. They've run out of their food. They've run out of their water. The boy is crying and has a mama's heart. She can't even fathom watching her son die. So she actually leaves him underneath a tree. There you go. You can have a purpose tree. Sorry. I love the tree. I love that the tree is being watered by up above. That has nothing to do with the message. I will get back to the message. So he leaves him under the tree, and she goes over, and she hears the word of the Lord. It says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up, take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. The promise once again. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water, gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. Once again, Hagar is seen by God in the midst of her disappointment, in the midst of her hardship, in the midst of seeing her dream shattered. She is seen by God. And so I find a lot of comfort that in those moments of great disappointment, those are also the moments that we grow in the knowledge of the God who sees us. Because you are not alone in that moment. There is a God who sees you. And he knows your pain. And those times are also the times that build such richness in us. Do you know why? Because it's in those times we actually produce hope. Well, no. Our hope was just shattered. Didn't you get that? We're like, this was all happening. It was all shattered. How can that time produce hope? You know why it produces hope? Because we begin to lean into him and we begin to know who he really is. And when we get the vision of who he really is, and we start to know him on a deeper level, and we start to know him in that pain, all of a sudden we realize there's hope because I now know him. There's an intimacy that's produced in those moments. I remember laying on my bed and crying again and again over a disappointment. But I also can look back and cherish those moments because I remember God holding me in those. He didn't leave me in that disappointment. Have I seen the dream? No, I haven't. Honestly, I haven't. But I know him. And I believe and trust that whatever God's will is, it will be. All right, last one. I'm almost done. And I'll make this one quick. Sometimes our dreams that God gives us are for generations. Sometimes that dream that's living inside of you may not be your dream, but it's the dream for the generation that follows. The perfect example of this, of course, is David. David had it in his heart to build the temple. He had a dream to build the temple, and God said, I'm sorry, David. I love that your heart is to build the temple, but because of your bloodshed, you are unable to build the temple, but your son will build the temple. And in 1 Chronicles 22:5, I love this. This is such a father. David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced. And the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it. And so before his death, he made extensive preparations. And then when he was ready to go, he said, now my son, he spoke a blessing on his son. He made preparations and then he spoke a blessing. And he said, my son, the Lord be with you and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. His vision never became a fact in his lifetime, yet still it was fulfilled. Sometimes we carry dreams that are for the next generation. And part of our job is to move toward that dream. It doesn't mean that just because it's for the next generation doesn't that means that you just sit there and do nothing. Okay. You still take steps towards that dream. You keep dreaming it. You keep giving it to God and saying, all right, God, here we go. Let's do this dream together. Until he would say, absolutely, no. But if he doesn't put the kibosh on it, then you take steps so that the generation that is behind you can start here instead of way back here for that dream. You've given him a head start. My favorite thing when I think about generations is my grandpa. Grandpa Miller. Alvin. And I think of the legacy that he left for us and how much of the paved the way for us. But he ended up having an experience with the Holy Spirit and he was forever transformed. And he started attending this little church in Binford. Binford's like 250 people. Little tiny church called the Gospel Tab. Now, guys, I know it can be disheartening sometimes when we come in here and the seats aren't full and there's lots of empty places. You guys don't know disheartening until you walk into Gospel Tab and you realize that there's maybe 8 people there today. When I want to get discouraged, I think of his faithfulness. I think of them staying there and supporting the pastor and his wife and being there and supporting their vision and doing whatever they could to help. And I think of the vision that they had for my mom and for Larry and how they gave into that as all they could. And from that little church, because I'm now a little bit connected, like I know a few people, there's been missionaries and evangelists. There's a young man who's serving up in Grand Forks in a Freedom Church doing outreaches that are just changing the area. There's a legacy that he helped with. The whole church has believed in it. And they keep laying that legacy. Saw one, the pastors who are there now, his daughter just graduated from Trinity Bible College. And with missions on the mind, they've been to India and different things. They're touching lives through this tiny, tiny little church. Your dreams may not just be for you. They may be for the next generation. In closing, how's that? You know I'm closing, so you can kind of go, it's not too much longer. I ran across this blog when I was doing some research, and she wrote so much better than I could, some of the most beautiful words. And so I just wanted to share them with you. This is about disappointments. When I look back at those seasons, I cherish them. They were hard. They were messy. I was vulnerable. I needed Jesus desperately, and I needed people to help me have hope. I've been there. Asking a friend, can you pray for me today? To remind me of who God is and what he has done when I couldn't face the truth on my own. I remember spending nights on my bed with my Bible open, journal wet with tears, crying out to the Lord, resting in his arms because I couldn't do anything else. Mornings spent running, not me, with my music blaring, talking to the Lord and giving him my frail heart yet once again. Sitting with friends and mentors, having them pray for me, asking for hope, comfort, and faith. Getting emails from a dear friend saying, I know your pain. I know the pain of waiting, but God's timing is perfect. He won't go 1 second too long or 1 second too short. Perhaps this time of waiting or this time of crushing pain at a loss of a dream is a season or opportunity for the Lord to shower you with his grace and mercy. This may be a season for you to be so intimate with our Savior where you truly know that there is nothing sweeter than Jesus himself. He is your portion. He is your gift. And despite all the incredible dreams we have, there's no gift more precious than him. Isn't he our dream? Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Keep running. Keep crawling if that's what it takes to Jesus. Give him your deepest hopes. Give him your deepest dreams. Give him that one thing that you're longing for. Give him your heartache. Give him the pain and disappointment. Wait and see how he works in his perfect way, in his beautiful time. See how he showers you with love, with wisdom, with comfort. He's drawing you close. Come with hands open. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. We're all at different places, guys. Some of us need to dream. Some of us, our lives have gotten small because we stop dreaming or we just don't really know how to dream. And so to those of us that are in that spot, I just ask that we would ask for God-sized dreams. I believe he'll give them to you. And have the faith in him and the courage to take the risk to dream it. Some of us are still dealing with just the disappointment. We haven't seen the dreams come to pass, and so we struggle with trusting, with believing, with knowing that God sees me in the midst of where I am. And some of us are laying foundations for the next generation with our dreams. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. It is going to be fulfilled. It is worthwhile. We're in preparation for that dream. We need perseverance, character, and hope to maintain. And so I want to leave you with this one little song, my last thing. When I was like 5, Mom would make me sing in church. It was so scary. I still remember my heart doing this all the time. Preparation, guys. It was preparation. But there was a little song. It was called In His Time. I'm going to try and sing it. I don't know if I can make it through. Hopefully I remember the words. In His time, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, Lord, please show me every day that You're teaching me Your way, and You do just what You say in Your time. That little course has stuck with me 30 years. And I go there and I remember it because I need to know for me that He sees me. Moms, that child that isn't walking the way you want him to walk, that isn't walking in the godly path, He sees you in the pain. He sees you in the disappointment. Lord, I just bless these moms today. Thank You for the message that You've given me. And I pray that it touched hearts today. God, I just ask, Lord, that You would give us big God-sized dreams. Lord, that we would be a people of faith that would decide to take the risk so that we can see the kingdom of God advanced tomorrow. I thank You that You are the God who sees, that You minister life and You minister hope. And Lord, You take those disappointments and that You have a plan and a purpose. And Lord, I thank You that You are a God that sees ahead. And Lord, You're giving us dreams that we can start preparations in the now. Give us the perseverance to continue dreaming and to continue making preparations for those dreams so that those that come behind us can start at a place so much further than where they would have to begin. Bless the moms. Minister life, hope, and joy to them. Thank You so much for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.